Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, what's up, world? What's up, what's up? This your boy, the S to the A to the B to the A. You know who it is, your boy Savannah Black. And today's show, we have my man, homeboy, straight from out of Geechee Gullah Land, Mr. Messiah 7, and he's going to be breaking down the ins and the outs of the Geechee Gullah culture. It should be interesting, y'all, you know, being that I am born and raised in the South, and my ancestors and my relatives are straight from the South, and we have such a strong tie to that Geechee Gullah culture, not only the African heritage that we have, but also the Native indigenous heritage that we have as people to this land. But we're going to get into a little bit of music right quick, you know, to kind of get the mood right. Here's my boy fucking me with Prophets of Rage.
You're quite hostile.
I got a right to be hostile, man. My people been persecuted.
I keep it away, of course, and I'm keeping you from sleeping. And on the stage I raise and I'm rolling. And to the poor I pour and all my metaphors. And I'm bluffing, it's nothing that we ain't did before. We played to say the points made, you consider it done by the prophets of rage.
What the people say?
Yo, Flip, you and that's 1W, get to the east side. We got to kick it for the east side, G.
I roll with the punches so I survive. So try to rock cause it keeps the crowd alive. I'm not bowling, I'm just calling. But I'm past the days of yes, y'all in. I wiggle round, around, I pump, you jump up. Hear my words, my verbs again.
Do stuff, do
stuff. I've been around a while, you can't describe my sound. Clear the way for the prophets of rage.
What the people say?
Hey, yo, Griff, we got to get to my man Ralph in the south. Let's kick it to the south side,
I ring your bell, can you tell I got feeling?
Feeling.
If this peace at least cause I want it.
Want
I want it so bad,
so
that
bad.
I'm starving.
Starving.
I'm like Darby. But can you feed me? If I said I'm like Nat, leave me the hell alone.
Hell
if you
alone.
Don't think I'm a brother, then check my chromosome. And then you check the stage, I declare a new age.
Get down
for the prophets of rage.
Then you kick it like shit.
Okay, okay, come on. Okay, okay, come on. Okay, okay, come on.
Everybody else by a long shot. I'm I'm just a regular brother, just trying to spread a little bit of truth and knowledge out there. That's it. I know a lot of you have questions and you don't have answers. I know a lot of you go to your imams, your preachers, and y'all mystics and y'all psychic hotlines, and y'all want to know the answers to certain questions that you have about life. And you're not getting the answer that satisfies you. I used to be just like y'all. I used to worship that white Jesus. I bet some of y'all say, oh, there he go talking about Jesus. But I just had to bring that up because be one of the ones that worship white Jesus. And I used to love him too. Oh, I used to love him. Any white folks out there that's listening to this podcast, you're tuning in to Savannah Black's Conscious Attack. I might don't hate you as an individual. You might be cool with me. But for all white folks, the collective of you, I can't stand you. I said it before and I'll say it again. I cannot stand you. Anyway, like I said, you tuned in to Savannah Black Conscious Attack. And before I get into the topic of the show today, I want to talk about some of the news that we experienced this week as Africans in America. On top of that list, I want to talk about what happened with Clippers, the Clippers owner, Donald Sterling, and him being banned from life from the NBA. Now, I know a lot of people might think that that's a harsh, you know, punishment, but it really isn't. It's just deserved. And I think it's setting up a way so that we'll have our first all black NBA-owned team. Oprah expressed interest in buying the team. Shaq has said something about trying to get this. I'm talking about, there's a lot of people that came out the woodwork saying that they want to buy the team. But if you recall, when it first happened, and you seen the press conference, it was just Negro up there. It was the NAACP, and it was, you know, a couple of other old-school civil rights coons that said that they wanted, they wanted him to account for the things he said. But it's this one dude that was up there. He had this thing on his head, and kind of, I thought it was Eddie. Is that Eddie Long? But no, it wasn't Eddie Long. I thought it was Eddie Long, but it was this new Negro that I haven't seen. And he's the president of the NAACP Los Angeles branch. His name is Leon Jenkins. Leon Jenkins. I'm talking about, if he was like he got a dead baby puppy on top of his head, I don't know who do. But anyway, this dude, this slickster, this old slimy-ass Negro, he got up there, and he tried to pull that old-school NAACP line that got us into a lot of the bullshit that we have been in the last 100 years or so. I'm talking about after slavery. I'm talking about, you know, those Negroes that came out and said, you know what, to get slapped and turn the other cheek, those Negroes. Those we shall overcome as Negroes. But anyway, after this cracker boy, Donald Sterling, he got caught using some racial type of implications that he didn't want his little Mexican girl, Chinese, I don't know, she likes a little Chinese girl, Steviano, I'm going to talk about her in a minute, but he didn't want her to be bringing black folks to the game, being by black folks to the game, taking pictures with black. I'm talking about managers, some crazy stuff, but it got leaked, the conversation that they had, because she had recorded him. It got leaked to TMZ. And she said she didn't do it, but she beat up her best friend, a Superhead. So, you know, Superhead finally did it. You know, Superhead, you know, trying to teach her how to get that money. You know what I'm saying? But anyway, man, this dude, he said some things. He said some things, man, and I went mad. He don't want his little Mexican girl to be around no Negro. Shit, I don't want my girl to be around no white folks, but hey, look, if that's what she want to do, for my girl, then guess what? She ain't my girl. But anyway, this dude, man, when the scandal broke out, he said, at some point, when there has been proof, I think that would be a legitimate time for the NAACP to sit down with Sterling and try to work out how and why he did what he did and what is he going to do in the future. Leon Jenkins, the president of the NAACP Los Angeles chapter, has said. And I bet you said, well, you know, hey, you know, that wasn't nothing bad, you know. But no, then the Negro had did this right here. He said, God teaches us to forgive. And the way I look at it, after a sustained period of just proof to the African-American community that those words don't really reflect his heart, I think there's room for trouble. Forgiveness. See, that's the old school civil rights. We shall overcome, get slapped, turn the other cheek, let them spray us with the water hose, let the dog bite our mama titty, let the dog bite our pee-pee off, let them throw piss in our face, and let them throw feces in our face. Take their billy clubs and beat us till our brains spell out. Let them bomb our churches, kill our little black girls. Let them rape our women. Let them castrate and hate our young black men. You know why? Because God teaches us to forgive. And the way I look at it, after a sustained period of just proof to the African-American community that those words really don't reflect the cracker's heart, I think there's room for forgiveness. You know what? I applaud. I applaud the folks that came together and said, you know what? We got to get this Negro out of here. Because that's the same thing that had us set up all these years. I hope that's a clear, strong message to the Al Sharpton, the Jesse Jackson, the Cornel West, the Travis Smiley, that's right out there, Travis Smiley out there, Travis. I hope that's in a clear message to those type of Negroes that want to come and defend white folks' action and want to talk about how great our heart is for forgiveness. I don't feel sorry for them, you know. They got a little bit of money that the man donated. You know, hey, look. But still, is that enough to buy your self-esteem? Is that enough to buy your is that enough to sell your race out? $45,000 that he donated. This man is a billionaire, and he donated $45,000. But anyway, I'm going to get off that cracker. Number two. We're going to talk about Erykah Badu. Erykah Badu went to Swaziland, and she did a birthday concert. You know, she sang a couple of songs for the king of Swaziland, King Mswati III. It was his birthday. But she didn't actually know the man, but she did it, you know, after the last couple of acts that was supposed to went didn't go. She did it for her friend, her close personal friend, Jacob the Jeweler. For those of y'all that's not familiar with Jacob the Jeweler is the dude that every rapper of the last 25 years, everybody for the last 25 years, you heard him say Jacob the Jeweler? Well, that's who it is that they call, you know? They call, they said Jacob the Jeweler hooked them up with this ice, this rock, and this thing. I'm talking about, they made that cracker rich. They made Jacob the Jeweler damn near a billionaire, almost. They screamed Jacob the Jeweler name so much to get they Jesus pieces, they canary, yellow dime. I'm talking about, every Negro brain that you've seen, that is what Jacob the Jeweler had made. And then we had these little mini Jacob the Jewelers popping up around the place. So, you know, anyway, I just had to put a little brief history in Jacob the Crack Up Jeweler. But she went and she sung, and, you know, it was real hard. I heard it was like, you know what, she went, you know, that man, he's a dictator, he's tyrannical and this and that, right? And it's not that he's tyrannical. The man, they say he was locking labor leaders up, had child labor. And he's a king, by the way. So they say that the people over there probably make $2 a week or something like that. I think they're like $2 a week in Swaziland, Africa. It's right outside of South Africa, but, you know, outside of Johannesburg, excuse me. But say that this man, he spent all his money on luxury. But check this out, though. The man is only worth $20 million. He don't have more money than Puffy. And also, he has a harem. He has, like, I think 15 wives. But they mad because the man, like, you know, he like expensive shit. He the king. He the king of Swaziland. So, hey, by him being the king of Swaziland, why can't he have expensive stuff? Everybody pissed off and mad at him because he, like I said, they say he was locking up labor leaders and, you know, getting the luxury cars. And, you know, he is the only, well, he is one of 15 people that's in royalty. Matter of fact, he's one of the last monarchs that's in royalty that control his whole country. I'm talking about, he can throw out his government. He can throw out the capital. He can throw anybody out he wants to bring them in. And like I said, a man has 15 wives, consecutive wives. But I was looking at it, I said, well, damn, why are they so mad at the man? I said, okay, the child labor law, I look a little bit more than that. But then I looked, and I seen these initials, right? I seen LGBT, and we all know what LGBT is. That's the lesbian, gay, you know, bisexual, transsexual community. And, you know, he's traditional. He's an African king. They don't play that gay shit. But they try to put it on the labor laws. They try to put it on the child labor. They try to put it on the luxury. They try to put it on all this stuff right here. But by him being, you know, right there next to the country of South Africa, and he don't condone in the gay relationship inside his kingdom of Swaziland, they want to say that this man is tyrannical. Granted, Swaziland is not big at all, but it's still a royal kingdom in Africa. The man that coming to America, and he wanted to live like he was from Zamunda. But people were pissed off at this man because of this. And they mad at Erykah Badu, and they were talking about boycotting her, you know, because of that. Do you agree? Anyway. Other subject I want to talk about, this school called Anoa High School in North Carolina, they had gave out a test called a Chitlin test to the students. And everybody was pissed off because, you know, they said, you know, that was stereotypical, and they suspended the teachers, you know, who was responsible for giving out the test. I'm talking about, man, these black parents, they got mad because they're like, you know what, why is it that our kids not, you know, they have to take a test, you know, that have to do with, you know, big ethnic and racial makeup. It's called a Chitlin test. Now, the Chitlin test it's like, all right, they have the test at school, and a lot of us complain and say, well, you know what, we don't understand our test. That test right there was, you know, it's more for white folks than for black folks. And say, you know what, since these niggas saying that right there, let's make a test for them. And they call it the Titlin test. I'm going to give you an example of a couple of the questions that's on the Titlin test. One of the questions is, a handkerchief head is A, a cool cat, B, a porter, C, a Uncle Tom, D, a hoodie, or E, a preacher. Well, we all know that handkerchief head, you know, thanks to the honorable, great, late, great Malcolm X is a Uncle Tom. Bo Diddley is a game for children, A, B, down home cheap wine, C, down home singer, D, a new dance, or a mojo call. I can keep going now to my, all of the little questions, man. It just, they are, you know, racist. Oh, hey, here go one. Hattie Mae Johnson is on the county. She has four children, and her husband is now in jail for non-support, as he was unemployed and was not able to give her any money. Her welfare check is now $286 per month. Last night, she went out with the highest player in town. If she got pregnant, then 9 months from now, how much more? Hold on. Y'all, excuse me. This right here is hilarious. This right, it's called the Titlin test. You can go to Wikipedia and type in the Titlin test. And you will see sample of questions. And this right here is question number 12. I'm going to read it one more time. And maybe some of you out there might get this question right. And, you know, we're going to have some giveaways, some prize giveaways here at Culture Freedom Radio. And Savannah Black Conscious Attack pretty soon. So y'all just hang in there. You know, as you grow with us, we're going to grow with you. Anyway, I'm going to read number 12 again of the Titlin test. This is a sample. It says, Hattie Mae Johnson is on the county. She has four children, and her husband is now in jail for non-support. As he was unemployed and was not able to give her any money, her welfare check is now $286 per month. Last night, she went out with the highest player in town. If she got pregnant, then 9 months from now, how much more will her welfare check be? $80, $2 is number B, it's just funny, or is it C, $35, D, $150, or is it E, $100? Man, look, but this is the test that they gave those kids inside the school, Lena High, in North Carolina. I think it's right outside of Charlotte somewhere. But it's funny because they still consider us to be at the low of the low. Upbeat, there was a story that came out this week. This young boy, 17 years old, from New York City, he got picked to go to all 8 Ivy League schools. Kawasi Enon, 17, of William Floyd High, has scored 2250 out of 2400 on his SAT test. The dude is, I'm talking about, he's intelligent. But the funny thing about it is, he's just 11th in his class. But he got picked to go to all 8 Ivy League schools. I'm talking about he had scholarships for him. But he picked Yale. The Long Island student plays 3 instruments, sing a cappella. He's a good shot put. And he's in the student government. And he was in he led every single school play since the 9th grade. Now, for all white folks listening in that think we need a Chitlin test to justify how smart we is, it's not so much of us not being smart. That's far removed from it. It's just your school systems and the way that you teach and your white teachers trying to teach our black sons and our black daughters, it just don't mix. We can't relate to y'all crackers. Can't. It's just something that, you know, we see y'all on TV, that's about it. You know, but as far as, you know, really relating to y'all, really, you know, learning from y'all, it's not easy to do. And I know some of you might say, well, you know, we need more black teachers. They got the black teachers, but they don't let the black teachers teach curriculum from a black perspective. They still have to teach it from a cracker perspective. So what you think? Anyway, I'm going to take a little small break. And while I'm going, I'm going to play a little bit. What y'all want to hear today? Let's see what I got for y'all. I'm going to play a little bit of poetry. This right here is called The System. The System. I'm having some technical difficulties right now with that selection. So hopefully we can come back to it later and play it. But anyway, like I was saying, a lot of us, we try to get with those crackers and form, and we try to, we wonder why things don't work for us the way that we want them to, and what it is that we're doing wrong. And it's trying to get, you know, getting caught up with the system. But we try to get, you know, up in these white folks to be like them and eat like them. And I'm not talking about, you know, eating healthy. I'm talking about we try to eat the same foods that they eat and do some of the same things that they do, and that shit just don't work for us. You know, we melanated people, and we keep trying to be like these crackers. I get kind of mad, you know, thinking about it. And that's like when I kind of broke off conversation. That sounded kind of funny because I'm trying to keep myself together. Because when I think about this, I think about how black people just worship them. Worship them, it just kind of do something to me, I don't know. But anyway, I'm going to get off that right now. In other news, the worst case of black-on-black crime, we have in Nigeria 276-plus young girls between the ages of 15 and 18 years old have been kidnapped. They have been taken out of school. Some of them walk into school. Some of them even in school. They took them out of school, and they kidnapped these young ladies, and they selling them. those Islam-ass motherfuckers. Excuse my language. My mama listening, please excuse my language, but it's those Islamic, how the people, they call them militants, but it's those people that worship that religion of Islam. It's those African folks. They're taking those girls, you know, and they kidnapping them, and they making them marry into polygamous relationships. And the majority of these girls are Muslim. They're Muslim. Their families are Muslim. And some of them, they just go along with it, you know, their tribal inheritance. You know, the president over there, he's a Southern Christian. His name is Good Luck Jonathan. Oh, you heard what I said? The president of Nigeria, his name is Good Luck Jonathan. Well, Good Luck Jonathan has been slow to respond to these mass kidnappings. He haven't said shit about it until recently. And he hasn't is because it's still divided over there. You got, you know, tribal wars going on all the time. Ethnic, really. It's just two different groups of people. It's either the Christians or it's the Muslims. But both of them are having problems with each other. And the Muslims, they just go out, they do whatever they want to do. And the government, you know, they step up on the attacks, you know, they step up on handling their business, but only if it's something that is done to a Christian person. If it's not done to a Christian, they can care less. I'm talking about they really don't care less. They like, you know, if they Muslim, they deserve to get what they get anyway. But that's one thing that I have a problem with Africa, is that they are not unified in a sense that, you know, black is black. They are unified as far as whatever culture or religion that one practices over there. So if one is a Muslim, an African Muslim, or one is a Christian, an African Christian. That sound familiar, y'all? Sound like America, right? Then they'll go against the other one for the greater good of whatever religion that they follow. But then the ones who are Muslim, they worship the Arabs. And the ones who are Christian, they worship the white man. Every African I ever met that was Christian, they love white people. They really love white people. They'll throw themselves down on a puddle of water for a white person won't get their feet wet. I said it. Ain't no lie. They would throw themselves down on a puddle of water so that a white person's feet won't get wet. They'd be like, Mr. White Man, please, I will not let your feet get wet. Mr. White Man, I will not let your feet get wet. I love you. You look like my Jesus. I've been right here raving for a minute. I'm gonna go ahead and play this poem. I think you know, my system is back up and working right. I'm gonna go ahead. I'm gonna play this little quote. This thing by CeeLo Green before, you know, they made him wear the dress. It's a little excerpt from a clip of the song called Fighting. CeeLo, get out with this right here. Enjoy.
No song. As individuals and as a people, we are at war. But the majority of my side got their eyes open wide, but still don't recognize what we're fighting for. I guess that's what I'm writing for, to try to shed some light. But we've been in the dark for so long and don't know right from wrong. Y'all scared to come near. You ignore the voice in your head when you hear. The enemy is after your spirit, but you think it's all in your mind. You'll find a lot of the reason why we behind is because the system is designed to keep our third eyes blind. But not blind in the sense that our other two eyes can't see. You just end up investing quality time in places you don't even need to be. We don't even know who we are. But the answer ain't false. Matter of fact, it's right up under our nose. But the system taught us to keep that book closed. See, the reason why he got a lie to see is so that we won't act accordingly to get the blessings we supposed to receive. Yeah, it's true. Uncle Sam wants you to be a devil too. See, he's jealous because his skin is a curse. But what's worse is if I put it in a verse, y'all will listen to some bullshit first. We ain't natural born killers. We are a spiritual people. God chose a few. Think about the slave trade when they had boats with thousands of us on board. And we still was praising the Lord. You know what I'm saying? But now niggas is ready to die over a coat, a necklace around your throat. That's bullshit. Black people, y'all better realize that we losing. You better goddamn fight and die if you got to get your spirit and your mind back. And we got to do it together. Good and mild.
That right there was CeeLo Green before he had started wearing the dress. But anyway, I'm about to bring in our guest tonight. And probably, you know, you won't hear a lot from this brother right here. Messiah 7, King of the Geechee. He's an artist, an activist in Savannah. And he know a lot of historical facts about the Gullah Geechee culture, coat of arms, and also, you know, you'll find out a lot about this area that I live in called Savannah, Georgia. I'm going to bring the brother on. Peace, brother. What's going on?
Hold up, brother.
Hold up. If you can, brother, you are on Savannah Black's Conscious Attack. Introduce yourself to the people so they can know who you are.
Hotep coming from what they would like to classify as Egyptology, but the way of my people, and that's peace. I'm Messiah 7, Ra's Hu, Geechee, Shango of the Black Messiahs. And right now, I'm with Mr. Messiah, Mr. Savannah Black.
And for those who don't know, I belong to a group called the Black Messiahs. Anybody inside the Savannah area, if you're interested in knowing a little bit more about the Black Messiahs and maybe even joining the group, hit me up. My email address is MrSavannahBlack@gmail.com. Or you can hit me up on Facebook at Michael Savannah Black 4. My email address, let me spell it out to you, is MrSavannahBlack@gmail.com. Anyway, brother, people here all the time, you know, we have these little shows, Gullah Gullah Island, and we have people, you know, singing their songs, Geechee this and Geechee that, and we have people talking about, you know, calling people names like Geechee, like I've been called growing up, you know. And we have people that talk, and like, man, you Gullah. And they get mad, and, you know, they're like, I ain't no Gullah, and this and that. Can you tell people what is a Gullah Geechee? What is the Gullah Geechee and a Gullah Geechee and, the Gullah? See, there you go. Hey, brother, you hear it coming out, right? Every time I say a word, it just Gullah Geechee, it just, y'all, I know some of y'all think I'm from the islands. No, I'm not from the islands. It's just the way I talk. I'm very, very, what you call, Geechee. But anyway,
right, okay.
Brother, please talk. Tell me a little something about the Geechee Gullah culture.
Mr. Savannah Black said, he stated, you know, originally, you know, he told me to keep it, you know, plain and simple, so I'm going to keep it plain and simple. But we are from the island, because when this thing was Asu of Pangea, you know, we broke off from West Coast Africa, so we've been here in this century. And this is God. This is God Eden. But to the basics, before we get to Pangea and after that, before we get deep in that, on the surface level, we find ourselves over here in North America. And we are island, because Savannah sits so many levels below sea levels. And in Georgia, you know, we have the sea islands. But Savannah, I would guess, wouldn't be considered an island because there's so much inland. But the Gullah and the Geechee Nation, I would say Gullah because the Gullah is, you know, the nation is, you know, it exists and it stems from Jacksonville, North Carolina, to Jacksonville, Florida. You know, and
brother, it goes far up as North Carolina, you say?
Yes, it does.
Okay. A lot of people are under the impression that it's only concentrated in one area of the United States of America, and that right there is Beaufort and around the Charleston area. How do you think people get that mixed up with this thinking that, you know, that's just the basis in the area of the Gullah Geechee Nation?
Because what they would say to be a Geechee is what you hear most so than people pronounce in the music industry, from like you would hear Rick Ross or you would hear Trick Daddy. One love Trick Daddy. You would hear people stress that because it does extend as far as the Seminoles coming from Georgia, because, you know, they were considered the Seminoles like the first black Indian, because they would say the Seminoles.
Hold up for a minute, brother. Hold up. I'm sorry. Mr. Messiah 7.
Right.
Of the Black Messiahs. Did you just not say black Indians?
Black Indians, yeah.
Hold on. A lot of people were under the impression that all the Indians look like the Mexicans that live next door.
No.
Why do you think that right there happened, brother? Please respond on that a little bit, please.
That's a misconception, because they don't, you know, when you were melanated being an original man, we were here, like I said before, we were here. An Indian is indigo, what they break from indigo. Columbus or your European scholars or how they break it down from their Greek or their Latin, you know, it's still there with the misinterpretation, but they knew who they were talking about. We melanated beings from Africa are what you would call Moors or before the Moors. I don't like to say the word Moors too tough, because when you say Moor, then, you know, you might deal too much with the Arabs, and, you know, and I appreciate the Moors for what they're doing, but I really don't deal with that Arab. You know, what I deal with is Kemet. Ancient Kemet, I deal with the Ahmosian and the Hahmosian dynasty. You know, I don't deal, you know, the Arabs, they raided Egypt and raided Kemet and Ethiopia, so, you know, they say they are keeper of the knowledge, and they know this and that and that. So, you know, when you talk about Moors, you got to tell me what Moor you talking about. Because we've been here. And it was different people. The Arabs, they took control. So, as first, as Native Americans, it was us, our blood lineage, and who we are as a people, as melanated beings, we've been here. But, you know, like Egypt, you see it today, I mean, they look like Arabs, and that's what the Arab did when Ethiopia, long Ethiopia, Mussolini, I mean, you know, them lines right there, but they took everything, the Arabs took us, you know, and a lot of brothers don't deal with Islam or talk about Islam, but I'm qualified because I went through all schools of Islam and lived for it, and I was like, hey, man, even you told me yourself, brother, hey, brother, check the history, and I checked the history. And I only could deal with where I'm coming from and where we coming from right now. We've been here. It was people that came from the Pacific, the Mongols and the Chinese, that we got with us over a period of years. That's how you get what you would call Indian. But as far as the Indian, we was indigenous people, and we was indigo, and we were here. It was just the past fit, and we was here, and we bred in with the what they would call the Chinese and the Mongols, and produced another race over a period of time called the Indian. Then we got back within them, and that's what produces what me and you are, what we say today, these people today, because we did get back within, even that get with the back in, produce what this culture is right now. But a lot of our people from the Geechee Gullah culture, where it is, come from the west coast of Africa. And they traveled over here. So when we split up, it was divide. And we was missing our people. But our people still find a way to get through here, whether through, they say it was chattel slavery or not, we here.
But didn't Abraham Lincoln free the slaves?
That's quite interesting you asked me that, because I have a problem with that, and I have learned to be even like you told me. I learned to be even in my tone, and, you know, me being Islam, you know, I learned from what they say, the Prophet Muhammad, which, you know, I learned how they do it. I take anything and use it back against them. I learned to be even in my tone. Abraham Lincoln did not free the slaves. When you say the slaves, now read this in the Savannah papers, I'm like, I read different things when they talk about the Geechee Gullah culture, and they say enslaved Africans. And I read something today because I had a conversation with you before and some other people before, and I was like, man, every time we read something, Savannah, the slave. So it's a big tourist attraction for everybody want to come see the slaves and see what the slaves. But they don't go past European history or how we educated them and taught them. Abraham Lincoln did not free the slaves. He amended enslaved Africans because we're not free by the Constitution. It's just amended to the rights that we have and what we can do right now. But he did not free the slaves. Or if you want to say he freed something, he freed enslaved Africans, but he didn't free us.
So in other words, brother, it wasn't no slave.
No, I wasn't no slave. A slave is property. The slave is property that's owned legally, and it's property. It's property you can do,
you know what, brother?
With it, how they do it. But how the hell did we become European property? I mean, and to this day, and it's right, that's just like me going to somebody and saying, I'm more powerful than you, I got more mind control than you, okay, I don't even give a fuck if you had your own mind, I'm going to do something to your ass. Come, you going to do what the fuck I say to do, and you my property. And we going to say it's legal because we are a body of people with the same ill nature that's going to come up with this concept and make it law. Because all of us is going to come up with it and make it law and make it stand and scare everybody else to the boot game if you ain't with it. But this is our principle, and we're going to make it a written law. And everybody going to stand behind it. That's bullshit. We was never their property. So we was
man,
never
you know what, man? I've been – see, when you – when you – this right here is called Savannah Black Conscious Attack. Now, if y'all looking for some lullabies, how to say it, lullabies, rock about the shit. Lullabies are even horrific because at the end, what happened to the baby in the treetop?
Shit,
the cradle went what, brother?
Drop.
That cradle fall. It drops. So right now, I did not drop. The baby does not fell out the goddamn treetop. Now, my whole life, brother, I have been saying that Abraham Lincoln had freed the slaves. Harriet Tubman had helped the slaves in the Underground Railroad. That I am a descendant of a slave. When the fuck was I ever a slave? When were we ever slaves? This ain't... When we go downtown to River Street in Savannah, and we still say, yeah, that's where they sold the slaves at. We'll say, that's where they sold the slaves at.
Right.
How is it, brother, that I've been saying this shit my whole life? How is it that I say I am a descendant of a slave? And you just not told me that we wasn't slaves. We were hostages.
Yeah, right. We enslaved us.
And we still, right now, suffer from what they call Stockholm Syndrome. Because, you know, we love white people. We love that creamy cracking out sister's hair. But anyway, uh-oh. You know what? Mr. Savannah Black, get off that. Right, brother. hey, like I said, the name of the show is Savannah Black Conscious Attack. I try to, hold it down and kind of keep a level head because the brother on here, he's reading about the Gullah Geechee culture. Let me ask you this right here, brother.
Right, brother.
What were the name of some of the tribes that joined together and made it with each other? Did they have like offspring or off, like I won't say the word off brand, but offshoots of different
Woo!
Indigenous people?
Okay. okay, let me get down to it right now. With that right there.
Say it one more time, brother. What you said? With that right there. Say it one more time, brother. Say it again.
I would have to say it, man, with that right there.
With that, you know, right there. Go ahead.
I did initially say with that right there.
Ain't it, man?
But with that right day.
Go ahead, brother. Go ahead.
I would have to say the Yamasee. And you talk about tribes, okay? What they would like to say is the Moorish, and you know, you identify with Moorish with black. They say the Moorish, and the Moors been coming over here, okay? But when I say Moors, I don't want to say Moors and get people confused with the Islamic Moors. And when I say Islamic Moors, I really want to say, I put it out there like Noble Drew Ali. And when I say that, I have nothing against Noble Drew Ali and the master teacher, because I understand his what he was doing and what he did, but I don't know his agenda and who was behind him or who was pushing him. But that whole agenda and that jihad, man.
Hold on for a second. Hold on for a second, brother. I got a caller. 5-5-4-5-4-6. Hold on, I'll get with you in a second. Go ahead, brother. Finish, please. I'm sorry for interrupting you. Go ahead, brother.
Okay. Let me say what I'm saying. Now, when I say the Moors, I'm speaking of people with knowledge and science and gifts and not a political agenda that was here. So when we was here in the Yamasee, we was already here as black people, as indigenous people. And like I said, when the continent was...
Black Indians, brother?
Black Indians. We only was Indians because we were indigo or indigenous people of this planet, because black people were indigenous all over this planet, no matter wherever it divided, even up in China. We were there. Wherever civilization or every culture had come from, we were there. Where were you? And anybody who come with anything other than who we are as a people and where we've been from when we broke up and when we come into this consciousness, where were you? Because all you're going to do is come with an ideology or a doctrine that someone else put in. If you're going to do that, man, that's cool. Keep that to yourself. But at the same time, us uniting as a people, man, that should better you. Because I'm not even saying I'm better than nobody, but it is what it is, us as a people. This is natural, man. And I'm only speaking from my standpoint of where I'm coming from. And where I come from is rich in history, because even the Englishmen knew that, because Savannah is the first planned city.
Oh, say it one more time, brother.
Even Great Britain, where the what, King George, and we speak English, and brothers like to come, and you know, wherever they're from or whatnot in the background, we still speak in English. We speak in the King's English. I'm from Georgia. Even Malcolm said the hardest come from Georgia. I don't want to say the word nigger, but niggas come from Georgia. And I'm no better than nobody, but I'm speaking from my heart. I'm speaking from my people. And when I speak for my people, I'm saying, we speak the King's English. Savannah is the first planned city in England. Georgia is the 13th colony, the colony of the Messiahs. This is the garden of good and evil. Even Clint Eastwood put out a movie about it about a faggot, but even the faggot, excuse me, oh, no.
I'm about to lose all my shit right now.
Now I go. I'm on the wall. Hold on.
Hey, you know what? You lucky. This right here is not a gay friendly atmosphere. Well, I would have had to cut you off.
I'm cut my throat. I'm trying to be clean. I'm trying to let you say everything. And I'm trying to, like, be, like you said, a technical man.
I'll tell you what. I'm going to go ahead. What I'm going to do.
I'm going to play, listen, brother.
Yeah, you get yourself together.
Yeah.
You get yourself together. Because I have a couple more questions that I want to ask you, right? I want to ask you about these wars. These Seminole wars that had went on the Yamasee, I want to know a little bit more about that. Just hold on for a second, brother.
Yeah.
Hold on, let me play this song, and when we come back after this this little break right here, we're going to have more from Messiah 7, King of the Geechee.
I love niggas because niggas are me, and I should only love that which is me. I love to see niggas go through changes, love to see niggas act, love to see niggas make them plays and shoot the shit. But there's one thing about niggas I do not love. Niggas are scared of revolution.
City on the track, nigga.
I love my niggas, from guards to fiends, hustlers, drug dealers, and anything in between. They all go get us, from guards in the holes. I love my niggas. I love my niggas, from guards to fiends, hustlers, drug dealers, and anything in between. They all go get us, from guards in the holes. I love my niggas. I love my niggas, so I don't read from the. They always told me I could not come up with a hook. Philippines, that's no longer here. No need to imagine you hear me now. For my family and children, hard times. Oh wait, the hard living. Went from kneeling in the cathedral to standing up in prison. When you don't speak with conviction, they say, boy, you been locked up. Yeah, my nigga, I got caught, but I ain't been caught up. Cause I'm no longer kneeling, looking to the ceiling. Black Madonna, the beginning, the portal of the darkness I'm revealing. Hail Mary, come on and ride with me. I mean, I love my niggas, but won't catch me with no Jesus peace unless I got a clock for five. So that name ain't too spin shake. I make King James Version sound like Dolphin Soup. I'm the motherfucker too, but at your local Catholic Times. Freddie Delaney can't even spread his spirit press that I'm vibing with, nigga.
I love my niggas, regards to fiends, hustlers, drug dealers, and anything in between. They all go get us, the gods in the holes. I love my niggas. I love my niggas, from guards to fiends, hustlers, drug dealers, anything in between, they all go get us.
Yeah, I love
guards
all my niggas,
holes,
man.
I love my niggas.
Alabama, Alaska, Arizona, Arkansas, California, Colorado, Connecticut, Delaware, Florida, Georgia, Hawaii, Idaho, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Kentucky, Louisiana, Maine, Maryland, Massachusetts, Michigan, Minnesota, Mississippi, Missouri, Montana, Nebraska, Nevada, New Hampshire, New Jersey, New Mexico, North Carolina, North Dakota, Ohio, Oklahoma, Oregon, Pennsylvania, Rhode Island, South Carolina, South Dakota, Tennessee, Texas, Utah, Vermont, Virginia, Washington, West Virginia, Wisconsin, American Samoa, District of Columbia, Federal States of Micronesia, Guam, North Carolina, Puerto Rico, Virgin Islands, and all my niggas worldwide. Anybody out there, you gotta take all my states of love. Y'all niggas been church. Hold up.
Hey,
yeah, the black man.
I
love
my music.
Yeah.
That right there. That right there was Messiah 7, the dude that y'all hearing, the king of the Geechee Gullah Nation. King of the Geechee, excuse me. The king of the Geechee. No, the king of the Geechee.
Yeah,
I love my niggas. And for all y'all that got offended because he said the word nigga, you think he said nigger, a niggas. But tell him what you said, brother. The word was what?
Man, you know what? I don't know if you heard that background. It sounded like some gunshots, like somebody shooting off an automatic. but for real though, but man, this is what I'm dealing with right here, and I'm still and I love my niggas, you know, niggas, you know what I'm saying? That's well, we are taking back to the Ethiopian. We talk about the kings. We are. I don't even have to just give it to the kings. I talk about those right now, man, because all of us kings and queens, and we got to take that intellectual thought. So don't get it confused. Because even if I did, and you take it as nigga, now I'm giving God attention. Let's come on. Let's
I hate my nigga. But anyway, brother, we can go ahead and get back on the subject. Hey, because I got something I wanted to throw a curveball for a minute, right? But, you know, I ain't pitching today. You know, check this out, brother. Tell us about the Seminole and the Yamasee. No, first, tell us about the Yamasee War in Carolina, then we're going to, you know, ease on down the road. We're going to go hit 95, right? And then take us down to Florida and tell us about those Seminoles, please.
Okay.
Seminole War.
What we're going to do right here, I'm going to take it way back, in the days of way back. Yamasee, okay, man, and this is what I had to deal with. And this is to come from reading and researching, and it's a privilege to be who I am, being a Gullah Geechee. I'm a Geechee, but being of the Gullah Geechee Nation is a privilege to be I am, because my people been here, and I don't have to travel or migrate, because my people been here. Even my grandma went off different places and came back here. My grandfather come from the West Indies on my mother's side. My daddy's people, they came from Carolina. If you want to say from the slave trade, they always been
the slave
here.
Trade. Hold on, brother. We don't use that.
You're right. I say if you want to call it the slave trade when it came from the slave trade. I said that.
Okay, that right there. I use the term that right there because that's what I like to say. We gonna use that for the time being, but we're going to try to ease off from slaves.
All right.
But
you're
I
right.
understand what you're saying. That's for the listeners. You know, it's
okay.
good for, you know, us as a people to go
you
ahead and practice not using that term slave. But go ahead, brother. I'm sorry. I just
brother,
got to put it out
what?
There for
and
the listeners.
From that, and, from right, and from right there, right there, everything we got to do, we got to be right and exact is a teaching tool before the invasion. And this is after Egypt, it was still another invasion because they invaded us after the invasion.
God damn, they came back again.
Yeah, they always kept coming back after the invasion. After the invasion, my people were always there in that Carolina region, that area. But they invaded Africa and brought more people in that mixed in with them people, but that bloodline of lineage that me and you come from was always here because we was always here, even like I tell you, from the continental divide, we was here, this bloodline was here.
Pangea.
And Pangea. It found a way to come back to this area. Because even with the invasion and they brought our people here, South Carolina and Charleston were the two biggest auctioning blocks. And we've been here from the Yamasee were melanated beings, original men. I can't even call them African because you could say it was Africa if you want to call Africa the whole name of the continent, man.
I'm saying, yeah,
But to break it down to you in layman's terms, yeah, Africans was here, but really, being the scholar that I am, I can't call them Africans because in the landmass they was in America. So if you want to say America, I'll give them that name America from what they say, Amerigo Van Vespucci. And it's different terminology where they tell you to come up with America. But the original man, what you consider African or what you consider black, the original man was here, the first Native American, the Yamasee. And what happened, the French came over here, tried to do battle, tried to take over this land, this area right here. We weren't going for it.
Hold on. You mean to tell me? They came over. When they came over here, they tried to stop some beef, and the Indian people that had burned the shit to their motherfucker. The Indian people.
We say Indians, I would have to say the black Indians. I would have to say
the black. I'm just trying to get some clarity because, hey, look, brother, I got my pen and my paper, and I'm learning off this right here. So you mean to tell me that the Indians that they were showing all in history class, all in the paper, the ones who like the Mexicans that live next door, motherfuckers? No. Okay.
No.
So what you mean to tell me there were some brothers that look like me and you?
Yeah, hell yeah.
Shit. Go ahead, brother. This right, hey, for all listeners out there, this right here is the Battle of Blacks Conscious Attack, and this right here is better than any type of action movie that you can look at for the rest of the year. Hey, I'm sitting in suspense, brother. What happened after that? Please tell me.
I mean, you can even Google this, the Yamasee Wars. And the Yamasee Wars were original men, if you want to call them black, and I don't want to use the term African because we was here doing the cost of the trip. We didn't travel over here. See, that's what they would give you in history, that we traveled over here. No, when it split, the people that traveled over here, we already had family over there because it's just like me and you standing right now, you standing on Bull Street. We on Bull Street, and Bull Street split the east and the west, and the east and the west split. But shit, we always been on Bull Street, and we been raised on Bull Street. But when the shit split, we gonna do our thing. Oh, we forgot about that. But when we travel over there, hey, man, I don't know a lot of people here, but I got people over here. And we building again and again, bro. We been here, man.
So, brother, let me ask you this right here. I'm sorry. So we battled those crackers, right? We battled those crackers and shit. And we were kicking the ass, right? What happened?
Okay, during the Yamasee Wars, and man, you know, I don't even, you know, I can speak the knowledge to the point where, like I said, man, people could research it for themselves, just Google the Yamasee Wars or look up the Yamasee Wars. When they first came over here, the French came over here and the British came over here, man, we was running their ass back in the Savannah River, man. They weren't doing a damn thing. They wasn't doing nothing. But see, the Yamasee, our people out with the Craw Indians, that's how you get Yamacraw.
Yamacraw. You talking about like the little project, like the project that's at the foot of the Savannah Bridge that's called Yamacraw? So that's named after
the actual... Yes. Yeah, it's right there, Yamacraw.
The first thing you hit when you cross out of South Carolina into Georgia is Savannah. And the first thing you hit when you come across the Savannah Bridge is Yamacraw, the project. So that's named after, damn, brother, that's deep. Go ahead, brother. I'm sorry.
That's named after the Yamasee Indians, but we bred into with the Craw Indians. Because the Craw Indians, they were some fighters themselves. But see, what happened was, during this same area, you get the Cherokee. The Cherokee are the same as the Yamasee, but the Cherokee is the Yamasee and the Craw Indian mix that sold out to the British. Because we were running their ass back, the Cherokee, at the end took sides with the British.
Who
stole
did?
Out the Gambesee, the Cherokee.
God damn. Go ahead, brother.
The Cherokee. And don't get me wrong. Cherokee is my family. Yamasee my family. But I take out the Yamasee, and I can't be wrong because I'm original black, and I got native blood in me, too. So that's the thing that they didn't want. That's the thing that they didn't want. But at the same time, I can't say that it was all wrong because the Crawls was down, too. And all people, it was a bunch of different Native Indian tribes with the Yamasee that was black fucking against the British and the French.
So we was,
yeah.
So we was, man, look, man, you know, and the funny thing about it is, I was always taught, go ahead, brother, I'm sorry, go ahead, because I'm getting kind of touched by listening to this right here, man.
The Cherokee, they switched sides. They made the Yamasee and the Crawl, everybody thinking they were doing that Cherokee switch side with the bridge, gave them the inside intel. Boom. I don't know what Tamachichi is. What is he? Is he a Cherokee?
I think he is a Yamacraw Indian, so they say.
Well, if that's what he is, I'll put like this right here. It was a big conspiracy then, because the Yamasee was the Yamasee that was us as black people. The Cherokee still, but that's in my bloodline because I'm part Native and I'm part Moorish, but I say don't get my Moors confused with Islamic Moors. I'm original man with Native blood in me. And a lot of
what?
Are from the area.
Now, I see a number on my dashboard, 373-4546. If I'm not mistaken, I think that's my mama, right? And if
yeah.
it is, I wanted to raise her hand because I want to ask her a couple of questions related to the subject that we going off on right now, you know, because being right here, in the heart of all this right here. Everything I'm learning, I basically have to learn on my own. My grandma told me some things before she passed away, but back in the days, you know, she told me some things, but I wasn't around the campfire, around the family, listening to my great-great aunts and my great-great uncles tell a story of our family history. I just know that, you know, it's some Indians in our blood. Now, I know some things from my daddy's side, but from my mother's side, I don't know. But I know we have deep roots in Carolina as well as the southeast parts of Georgia. And matter of fact, Florida too. But all this time, you know, I'm sitting inside history class as a kid, and I'm like, we used to have a thing called a Georgia Day Parade. I don't know if did you participate in the Georgia Day Parade when you was growing up, man?
No, I it was going on, but I didn't participate.
All right. You know, the Georgia Day Parade, you know, you either dress like a damn pilgrim or you dress like an Indian. But for sure.
You talking about
May Day? No. I ain't talking. Is that May Day when you go around the pole? No. I'm talking about when you.
That was May Day, boy.
And I ain't
saying
that. Boy,
God.
Hey, look here, man. We gonna leave that alone, man. Look. I never had a chance to dress in Native American attire. They always gave me that damn Yankee Doodle, riding some macaroni. They always gave me that Yankee Doodle hat and these damn, this paper mache they made to put over your shoes that look like some primitive ass big buckle ass shoes. But they never let me be the Native American. But the funny shit about it, this was back in the 70s and early 80s. So the funny thing about it is, right, we'll march from Forsyth Park. If people haven't heard of Forsyth, Georgia, look it up. That's racist, more than the most racist city in the United States. I don't know if they changed anything, but those are one. Those are crackers that jumped on what that white boy name is, the Mexican, Arado. Those are the ones who jumped on Arado. They're from Forsyth. But anyway, they used to have us to march from Forsyth Park all the way to the City Hall. And we'll do this like reenactment. And we'll take these fake little guns we made and we'll point them, you know, at kids in our class. And they'll be like, oh, I'm dead. Oh, no, for real. And all the Indians will fall, right? And then we had this damn song that we'll sing. And everybody standing around a clap. You know? Matter of fact, thinking of Thunderbolt and the Thunderbolt, you know, representative of the Thunderbolt Indians. You know, we used to have this song in elementary school called Thunderbolt that we sung about the demise of the Thunderbolt Indian. You know, and everybody would clap. But for some reason, nobody ever wanted to be a fucking pilgrim. Never. So we came over here on the good ship Jesus. But we was already over here at the same time.
Okay, I'll put it right here.
So then
when you speak on that level right there, talking about we came over here on good ship Jesus, that's the
we didn't come on the good ship Jesus?
That yeah, but that seems like it's right here. We was born in this area. We was here, so we've been here. So no matter if it did come here and come over here, I was always here because I'm here now. My people been here for generations, so I only can speak from that. Other people in different places got to speak differently because they don't have the background we have, man, because like you say, the slave Atlantic trade, brother, we've been here.
Hey, brother.
Even for, yeah.
Yeah. For sure, for sure.
I mean,
hold on, I got a call. I got a call, brother. I'm about to bring in because I got people calling on switchboard, man.
Yeah.
And I'm not giving nobody else a chance to,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
follow
yeah,
what
yeah,
we're talking about.
They
either ask a question. And in the description, that's what, you know, that came about.
Yeah.
All right,
hey,
brother. We can't put all this together in those 2 hours. So hold on for a second,
yeah,
brother. 0865, come in, you on the air, 0865. What's
brother,
up, what's up?
Black. What's up with it, Black?
What's up, brother? What's
the
going
Black.
On? What's going on?
You know who this is. You know who this is. Hey, brother going in. This brother at.
Oh, what's up, brother? What's going on?
Yeah.
Hey, this brother Anthony, they did a show, Messiah 7 did a show a couple of, about a month and a half, 2 months ago, on the same subject we're talking about, but we are spawning on it right now, Brother Anthony. You know, he got folks from, matter of fact, his people from this area.
Yeah, he sounds just like what I'm talking about, don't he? Brother, I want to commend you on that. Good research and good drop, brother. That's why I just wanted to call in. I don't want to interrupt you because he's going in. I'm right on the same page as he is. Because he's putting it down exactly how it is, but I'm going to just touch on that good ship Jesus for y'all. As he said, we was already here. That good ship Jesus is a symbolic code from what they call the doctrine of discovery, meaning that they were bringing Christianity over here to conquer you. So when they say the good ship Jesus, they were conquering those natives, like the brother said, that was already here. And me and you built one time on the show and personally about those Cherokees. And when the brother said it was the Cherokees who accepted the Christianity and they got with the British and they started preaching. So you want to go look at Pocahontas when she flipped her name over to Rebecca and took the English name and started preaching it. And then The other tribes were getting down with it, and as the brother said, they started flipping. And this is what you have today. These people running around as Christians thinking that they came from Africa, and ain't no ship ever came over here. Even Christopher Columbus is a code word for the conquering. That's when you want to look at the doctrine of discovery. Please read that, and it'll tell you how they did all the shit. And I'm going to let it go and let the brother go back and build, because I'm right in line with what he's talking about. He's putting it down, so ain't no need for me to interfere. But good show, bro.
You said the doctrine of discovery.
The doctrine of discovery. It's conquer any land that wasn't, like he was saying, with the Islamic thing and the Moor thing, don't confuse the two. When I say Moor, I'm talking an aspect of melanated people. You see what I'm saying? Which you did have Moors that came over here, but you had Moors that was coming over here with the British, helping them to set up the slavery on this side. So you had...
You touched on that a couple months and a half ago.
Yeah, so you had those sellout European blackies that came over here and was working with them and reinstituting slavery that was taking place across the water, because you had slave trade that was dealing from Europe all the way to Asia, and they wasn't actually here in America until those Moors here came. So you're going to look at the Sundry Free Act and look at that, too, and it'll show you about those Moors who were protected because they were siding with the Europeans and helped setting up laws to enslave us, like he was saying, from North Carolina all the way down. We had that on lock, and I can't remember the town because I right now, but North Carolina was the biggest port as far as trade in the whole entire world.
That's right.
And this is what
you said, North Carolina came over.
It was in North Carolina. I forgot the name of the city because I ain't at home. But I'll get it to you. But that was the biggest port and the most richest city in the whole entire globe, right there in North Carolina, brother. And everybody was jealous and wanted a part of that when they found out about it. So this is where they started enslaving these people to get all the goods. And it was black Moors that came with the Europeans that helped them take over all that. And this is where the beef took place. And those Seminoles and Yamanses from the tip of Florida all the way up, even from the Caribbean, came up to get rid of these people. And they held them down for a long time. So later on, they took over through Christianity. So when you look at that doctrine of discovery, they took that as their means of justification to conquer people's lands and things of that nature, and they say give on to the Lord or render on to Caesar what Caesar. This is now how you come into the modern day where you get your house over to them, you sign up and register. It's just so much, but I ain't gonna take that brother's time. We'll do something on it later. You know.
We're gonna have to do another show. This right here, I'm gonna get with the brother, everybody, and we'll do one. This is bigger than two hours.
I'm always welcome to be a brother. I'm glad that you know you doing just what it is. I mean, I only could do so much.
We get together, but look at that doctrine of discovery, and it'll explain it to you.
Right, you coming in and you inspiring on it, and you taking the vibration higher, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's equality.
I mean, you know, we come on equal planes, but you still taking the vibration higher because I can't equal, you coming equal, but it's higher.
It's cool, but go ahead and do your thing, brother. I'm going to let you do your thing. You know, we'll get together online, offline somewhere, and then we'll put something together, you know, and then I'll get with Savannah Black and see if it's cool, and we'll lay it down even more, but you on track.
That's what we're gonna do, brother.
Brother Anthony, build on the science, the scientist of every school you can think of. The brother going and the brother going hard. We definitely gonna have to get together, and we're gonna have to do another show, you know, about, you know, this subject, because a lot of people, they're still going to talk, and we haven't got a chance to get together to really, really, you know, just stick to this subject and just stay on this subject and letting people know, hey, look, we are more than what those folks said we were, and we were here. We were here before they, quote-unquote, sprung us from Africa and made us into hostages. I don't want to use the word hostages, but I got another call. I got a call.
All right,
on,
I'm going to get off, man. I'm headed on in anyway. I just wanted to just touch bases with you, let you know I'm listening in. And that's
oh, you know what, brother? I appreciate the support, and we will get together. We will we're going to build castle.
We're going to rebuild temples, brother. That's our whole job,
oh, that's
rebuild
right.
temples,
that.
Bro. We keep
hey,
on,
you know what, brother?
We got to build temples, brother. We got to build temples, brother.
Mm-hmm. You're right. But let me go ahead and catch another call, brother. FDA is good to hear for you. Hey, we're going to get together,
right,
brother. So I'm going to say hotel, righteousness, and peace.
All right.
I'm about to bring in a call on 2768. 2768. You're on the line, 2768. What's
hold
up?
Me.
You're on the line with Savannah Black. Savannah Black, Constant Attack.
Savannah Black,
what's up? No.
What's going on? Peace, brother.
What's going on, Brother Smalls? What's going on, brother?
Well, man, I was just listening to the conversation that you were having about Indians and how black culture influenced the Indian culture, and they don't tell us about that. I was thinking about is how spiritual the Indians are. And really,
you know what?
Indians get their spirituality from us. Like we taught them everything they know. And if you don't mind, brother, could you expand on spirituality and how they get it from the black people and how we need to be more spiritual?
Okay. Okay. And that goes in two-part subject right there. The Indians, they got a lot of our spirituality from us. Because we deal more with, like, let's say, physics and science, and we get deep into the energy in the universe. But when we got with the Indians, they came up with a way where they start looking at the animals more, but they got that nature from us, and they learned that nature from us, and we incorporate that because they look at the nature of the animals. They see how the animals move, what the animals do, when the weather comes, how the animals move, but that's all African spirit and spiritual. But I just can't take that totally away from them for the simple fact that with us coming from this part, we do have that lineage. I would like to say it's all black. I would like to say that, but it's come through a transition period where we have learned that and we have been around that, and especially us in this area. That's what they say, metaneta, or learning the science, is learning nature. And us as spiritual people, we learn the ways of the ant. And, you know, more things we come into contact now, we learn the ways of nature. And that's what the Indians did. They learn ways of nature. And I would say Indians, and I would have to go back to us and say us as black. And I don't want to say bias in saying that, but I'm unapologetically African. Our original man, I should say. Because I'm still saying get your gun, I'm here. But I mean, you know, I say Africa, you know, I'm here, but you know. But yeah,
yeah, man, we need a show like this that uplift us, man. Y'all brothers keep doing what y'all doing, man.
You know what? I appreciate it, man. And you know what? We gonna get together, man, and we gonna build a temple, bro. It's all about building a temple. You know, because this whole plane of existence that we on is out of balance. And it's up to us to put the temples in the correct place so we can get back on track and get back to the harmonious balance that we're supposed to have. You know, instead of living this wicked ass, lopsided ass, false reality that these crackers have given us. So, brother, you know what? I'm going to, go ahead, brother, go ahead.
You know, the best thing I see is when brothers, like Brother Smalls, a very knowledgeable brother, like he came in and he was able really aid and not really come in like most brothers would come in and say, hey man, I got this.
Hold on. Excuse me, hold on for a second, Mr. Seven. You mean, hold on. Some 70s music, is this my brother, Jim Small?
Brother,
what's going on? You know what? I did not know that was you. Now, check this out. I want people to know this right here is a longtime friend of mine, homeboy. My homeboy called to support me, and I appreciate that. Thank you for blessing me, brother. But my homeboy, his last name is Small. Now, brother, I'm going to tell the listening audience, where is your family from?
Where is my where from?
Where is your family from?
Well, my mama from right here in Savannah. Half of my family from Savannah and the other half from Blackville, South Carolina. So I know I got
from where?
Blackville,
from
South Carolina. Black
South Carolina.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man, we everywhere. But I know I'm part of the Geechee Gullah family. So it's good to hear somebody talk about it. You're breaking up, brother.
I don't hear him either.
Malcolm Garvey, here we study. Malcolm Garvey, here we. Their life was like a movie study. Malcolm Garvey, here we. Malcolm Garvey, here we. Malcolm Garvey, here we. Their life was like a movie. Organize everything I do's revolutionize. I build what's good for the whole damn hood. Study G's like these really think you should. I study Malcolm Garvey Huey, Malcolm Garvey Huey, Marcel Cody with the Uzi, listening to Fela Kuti. I'm a goon with the machete, especially if it's jelly. Got the Santos for the Hexy to protect me, so respect me. This is heavy, legendary, revolutionary. My wifey, she resurrect me when they thought they had me buried. Took me out the cemetery, now it's family over every. Cause that's all that's necessary to avoid the commissary. I'ma live for you five, so I stop to get high. If you know, then you recognize. It's that black and brown pride. It's the power of the mind. RBG, God divine. You can see through the lies if you can read between the lines. I live, I die, I organize everything I do, revolutionize. I build what's good for the whole damn hood. Study G's like these, really think you should. Study Malcolm Garvey Huey. Study Malcolm Garvey Huey. Malcolm Garvey Huey. Malcolm Garvey Huey. Bungie Bobby Pock and Tukey. Sitting by the door so you can say I'm acting spooky. Just like in the movie, son, you better pack your toolie. Niggas switch, be acting fruity, you'll be cracking like they pookie. Rather smoke a doobie than be burning and the loo-
Hey. I'm sorry about that. sometimes this vlog talk goes off and, you know, come back on the air. I got kicked off, but I'm back on now.
All right, brother.
I'm back on now. I want See, hey, this show got me kind of shook up a little bit because, you know, for a long time, a brother has thought one thing about himself. And, you know, and the question I have, brother, is where did the pussy, you know what, excuse me, I'm not saying the P-U-S-S-Y word, but it's not referring to the anatomy of a woman. It's just referring to the weakness of a man. So, brother, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Where did the pussy ass niggas come from?
Well, that come from people, man, that was not keepers of the way, man. And you gotta understand, man, that we were made into be beasts. I mean, we were totally brainwashed, raped. We were totally made to be, I mean, you understand, even with man, just scientifically, if you take a human being and wash him away of everything, beat him, rape him, do everything you can to him, beat him down, and get him conditioned to do what you want to do and do your bidding and your will, a lot of us buck rebel from that, but a lot of us systemize with that. And those who was going with it saw those who were strong and were like, man, I help you, man. I ain't strong enough to do it, but I help you. But it was those who went along with it and knew they was going to fuck us up. They were scared, but wanted to really fuck us up. So that's that pussy-ass nigga. And he's still getting fucked and raped, pussy-ass nigga.
Hey, look,
I asked that
because, you know, I looked around and I said, man, you know what? There is not no Indian. I'm talking about no Indians whatsoever. Then you know what I said? I said, man, those Indians must have been some pussy-ass motherfucking man, excuse me. I'm sorry for all the curses. I thought we were going to curse too much today. But those Indians must be some chump-ass Mexicans.
Now you telling me, brother,
that those people wasn't all of the Native American population. There was just a fraction. But in this era right here, you saying that we were the majority.
Right.
So in other words, when I look around and I'm looking for the damn Indians, they right before my eyes every time I look in the mirror and every time I walk out the door.
Right. True indeed.
So they got me chasing the goat. The whole time I've been chasing the goat. I've been chasing
the
something
Indians,
that really didn't exist. I was looking for Tonto.
The Indians did not. What the European called the Indian did not is not. He called Indians extinct, but we never went nowhere. He don't want to acknowledge us. Well, the Indian never went nowhere, man. The big chief never went nowhere. I got a shirt right now with the chief. No, the chief ain't never went nowhere, man. Chief always been here. And at the same time, though, what we have to acknowledge is that fire within us, bro, it was a breed through just time, bro. Even with them Indians that we got through that I cannot knock off and say, oh, that breed right there, yeah, they killed that off. They did, bro. And they ran it, and it's on reservations right now. But that breed that got with us, we are a breed of the native and of black and of the original man. So that's why we are so super spiritual around this area and so fiery. We ready to vote, but we ain't going like that. We've been ahead of that alcohol, that fire water, the crack cocaine and all that, and we still here fighting. So we ain't going like that. But we got that fire spirit, and that is what is the most powerful thing on the planet from this area right here, man, because you got people like that bred with that heart, that spirit, and that knowledge, and that blackness. And I don't say nothing, everybody around here black and we all related. It's just that it's more concentrated in this area, and those who are out there, I don't try to exalt myself or say I'm better than that. Ain't nothing got to do with nothing like that. But it's just really concentrated in this area or bloodline that was concentrated in this area, and I have to speak on it. I got more rights to it. I'm Geechee Gullah. Everything, we got the strongest. If we just want to deal on surface on what they give us, we got the strongest African heritage culture there is in the world right here. Now, if you want to go deeper, we can dig deeper. So I used to say,
I was reading about the first welfare system, one of the first modern time welfare systems, involved them giving out wheat and grain to freed to African that were not held hostage, but shit, I guess we're always going to be held hostage as long as, you know, we under this government's rule. But, you know, to so-called, quote-unquote, free slaves, they gave them rations of grain and wheat to sustain them. But they wouldn't give it to the indigenous Native Americans. And what I found was, when the first census report started coming around, that the Native Black folks, they started filling out the census saying that they were Negroes, you know, ex-slave Black, so they can get some of the free rations.
Right.
So you think that a lot of our population, they just had disintegrated? They integrated with the quote-unquote Negro Blacks, the ex-slaves, so they can get, you know, free benefits from the system the white man set up?
No. That ain't had nothing to do with it, man.
Hold on for a second, brother. You know what? Hold that thought for a second, brother. Let me take this other call right here. 5884. 5884, I'm bringing you on.
That's me.
What's up, 5884?
Hi, brother. I was just calling to say
you on Savannah Black Conscious Attack.
How you doing?
I'm all right. Who I got calling?
This is your sister Kenya.
Oh, what's up? What you got to ask me, Kenya?
I was calling to tell you that I was supporting your show, but I also was calling earlier, but you didn't click me on because I heard your friend say something about the gays back in the days.
He said something about the what?
The gays back in the days. I wanted him to go back to that because he had got cut off and he had stopped talking about it.
I don't know whether, you know, what happened, but we were talking on that subject for the last hour and 15 minutes.
You late.
No, he stopped talking about it.
Okay, I probably had it.
He stopped talking about it, and you also had said that you glad that this is not a gay-friendly show.
Hey, Brother Seven.
I'm a little uncomfortable because when I speak on that, I don't know how to approach that in a situation, because whatever I was saying, I was making a point. But you got to tell me what point I was making and what I left off of. And I said something about them back in the days, but back in the days, they still the same to me back in the days. So I don't want to say that.
Hey,
I mean, they feel the same, so I don't know what point I was making at this time. And I got to be really careful and scrutinize everything I say on the air.
Okay, I understand that. Ms. King, keep listening. I'm about to play a song, and I'm going to get back with you. We're going to form a study group in the area, and we're going to get together once a week outside of my Black Messiah meeting so that you and people such as yourself, Kenya, that want to learn some of this history that has been lost down the line, you know, you can get some of this knowledge and find the missing pieces of the puzzle. And I guarantee your life will be 100% better.
Hey, Michael.
I'm sorry, say it again.
Little Francis.
Hey, Michael.
Hey, baby. Anyway, I'm going to have to talk to y'all when I get offline. Anyway, you are listening to Savannah Black Conscious Attack. We don't got that much time left.
But yeah, brother.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, man. No, I thought you had a question or something. But you know, whatever, man. Do what you gotta do, brother. I mean, you know, this our life work.
All right, I got you, brother. I got a clip I wanted to play earlier. For some reason, it did not let me play it. So hopefully, let me play it now. Call the system.
I'm scared what to tell my kids, y'all. We live in a system that's designed for us to fail, and I don't know what to tell them. I don't know what to tell them. When they get older, they're going to face a system that tells them there is no you. There is only who I want you to be. From your latest cell phones to the style seen in your most recent videos to my implementation of what you call swag. If you can't brag about how many women you have or the $200 denim on your butt, you are worthless. Your purse is not hot if it is a fall edition and we are in the winter. And as long as your kids have Jordans on their feet, it is okay if they have to eat top ramen for a week for dinner. Your check is in the mail. You fail at becoming grown men, so you don't bother with your younger ones. Give them to me. I'll program them to Viacom. Have them growing up with a single mom and extensive rap sheets and ADD with no off switch and download a defense that is nothing but false self-confidence shown through them being overly aggressive. Your misguided women want nothing but diamonds and Fendi, or dreams of finding a professional athlete to pay for their lives because to them being a wife is not a lifestyle, it is trendy. Trendy to have like a little black dog carried around in a bag, the deconstruction of your black woman and man are going according to plan. Flip the coin, and for those who have chose not to go down that road, make sure that any statement they make that may challenge their masculinity are followed by statements of insecurity. We can't have them thinking for themselves. Program dreams to be a mirage. Close enough to see, yet too far to reach. Their aesthetics too pathetic, a.k.a. camouflage. Allow them to blend in. Keyword, trend. Downtown corners full of rappers who refuse to give up even though their stuff sucks, but will allow them to say their piece. At the very least, it'll make them a quick buck. Any more success, initiate operation exploitation. Throw them a bit more cash. I am the system. Programmed to initiate commands. You Negroes, error, you people are programmed not to ask. Empty vessels who have sold their souls a long time ago, and you call me robotic. I am the system. Systematically set to just do. You are systematically set to just do and not think, and you call me robotic. Error, redundancy. Error, repeat. Error, redundancy. Error, repeat. Pardon me. I was scanning your culture's current popular music. You want a cop to pay for killing one of you, but carry a no-snitching policy in your own community, which allows you Negroes, error, you Negroes, error, you Negroes, error, you people to have absolutely no accountability. Irony, overload, reset. I am the system, systematically set to desensitize your senses, senseless activity surround your society, simultaneously making you love me while shaking in your boots. And for those who dare to overthrow me, allow me to remind thee, 'tis I who provides you with the land and seed you use to grow your little grass roots. I am the system.
That boy good. That boy good. I am the system. I am the system. That's a very interesting piece of poetry that I just played, because the system has really screwed us up in the head, haven't it, y'all? But I'm about to bring in my caller. And I think this right here is a special guest to me, y'all. This is my mother. And I got some questions I want to ask you, Mama. I got some questions I want to ask you. 4546, you on the air. Hello?
Yes. Hello.
Hey, girl, what's up?
What's up? What's going on?
Hey, number seven, my mama, I'm on the phone, right?
I have a question.
I want to ask you. Excuse me. You said something?
Yes, I have a question. Hi.
All right, go ahead.
I have a question. My question is this. Okay, you aspire and say that we were over here before. So if we was over here before, where the word nigga come from? Nigga, however you put it.
Brother Seven, can you please answer that question right there? All right, go ahead.
Through history, I would say through history, through what we learn, I just don't accept the word nigga. It has to be through history in Ethiopia. You had what you call the niggas,
mm-hmm.
He. So it was always, you know, said that when the European saw us, he always had envious. So, you know, it was like it say, look at those niggas over there. And then through the history of them being so bastardized in their language or their English, they took the word niggas. But at the same time, I would say that, and I still say that, and I use that as a teaching tool, because I don't know exactly where the word nigga come from, but I know it come from a European term. But through studies, I know that the great kings were called niggas. So that's what I use as a teaching point and as a point to say. I don't know exactly. But from that point right there, that's a good reference and what I use.
Mm-hmm.
And I wouldn't accept nothing less, because we use the word amongst ourselves so
we use the word as a term of endearment. My lips are like a uba. Hey, my lips is like a uba when I try to spray it. My lips is like a uba when I try to spray it. My lips is like a uba. And I can't help but say the phrase, nigga, sucker nigga. Now, I use the term, you know what I'm saying? But anyway, let me ask you this question, right? When you sit around a campfire, right?
Yeah.
What did they say about the Indian in your family?
Well, in my family,
as far as your
great-grandmama?
See, because I don't know nothing. Please give me a history lesson. Go ahead.
Okay, in my family, my grandmother was an Indian. But in the process of being an Indian, I never seen an Indian come to the door, or neither around the campfire, with no feathers on, saying, I'm your nigga. You're a nigga Indian. But in the course of time, we always was taught that. And we always knew from the generation of the rough or the skinless or whatever, however you want to put it, that they were considered as Indians. But so there's a black Indian and there's a white Indian. Because I've met white Indians and I've seen black Indians. So what tribe of Indian that my grandmother came from, I don't know. I never seen no other Indians. Now, whether they instilled it in her to tell her that she was a part of an Indian, maybe. I don't know. But I've never seen no one come to the door with no feathers on saying, I'm an Indian.
Hold on. So you mean to tell me when you was in school, you didn't make no bow and arrows?
Not one.
So you never had two pieces of rock and a stick and it had solid. I'm just saying.
Never.
You never was.
Never. My other question is this right here. Savannah Black mentioned Georgia Day. And Messiah called it.
Macy, yeah. That's
May
two different days,
or whatever. But, okay, in the course of going to school, as far as Savannah Black being Francis' son, he never had to dress up nor go to school and perpetrate that he was a part of the Georgia Day because, in essence, he already knew that we was not a part of those kind of activities. Even holidays, we wasn't really a big part of. So,
no, I'm telling you right here. When I was inside third grade, my teacher name was Miss Kathy Carr. I never forget. We had the brown paper that we made our costumes out of.
Brown paper day. Exactly.
Yeah.
But that
I had a brown vest. And I had them dumb hats. And I had them little dumb things that we put on our shoes. And we walked arm in arm in a Macy Day celebration.
And
now, me, myself, personally, I wasn't one of the ones that had a fake gun. But out of everybody at the school, they chose the so-called students that they wanted to be the Indians that acted in our play and to be the Pilgrims that acted in our play. But all
that's
of us get us on a big
that.
Circle around them, and we are watched as they reenact that play. And they shot
but
and Mikey, killed an Indian.
But Savannah Black, you have
you
to
know,
realize
so
one thing
was. An Indian
was
town.
Okay, but you have to realize one thing. That was school activities. That was taught at school.
No. I never said around the house. I never said around the house. See, we do cracker stuff around the house like that now.
Never.
No, I never said that. No.
What I'm saying is, in school, that was just a part of participation because that's what you was taught there because that was you was believed to be taught at school. But in essence, you knew better.
But
so
I,
all
I,
your growing up, you always knew better. But it's just people, when you talk, some people understand and comprehend, and then you have some people that it's not acceptable to it. So not being acceptable takes longer than being acceptable to it. Unacceptable than being acceptable. So you always was unacceptable. That's just like Christmas. Christmas came, it was unacceptable to you, so it didn't matter. But then you had the big down the street family. It was very important to them because that's what they was taught. Easter, the same thing. Easter, where your suit was at? Nowhere, a pair of shorts and a shirt outside playing.
Hold on. I remember you had bought me that pinstripe suit.
One time.
You bought me a pinstripe suit.
Easter participation
yeah,
was I wanted
I had
you to see like you was a part of Easter because you wanted to be
yeah,
Easter.
And exactly.
But as
and
you grew up, you knew it wasn't no Easter. You knew it wasn't no Christmas.
Things that were taught to me that you knew better than that you still allowed me to be a part of. And I don't know what that to shelter me or for I won't feel like I was out. You know,
left
I wasn't
out.
A part of. Okay.
Left out.
See, because some things that I'm beginning to know now, you already knew then.
Yeah, but you wasn't ready yet. You had to be groomed. Now that you are well groomed, you can pass it on. You had to be groomed at the time. So now that you are well groomed, I expect you to do what? Pass it on to the next person that's not groomed and groom them as you are being groomed right now. I'm off the air. Peace out.
Peace out.
Exactly.
Hey, y'all. That was my... Hey, look, let me tell you. Hey, that was how a white boy father don't say. That was like a box of chocolate. You never know what you're going to get. Hey, you never know what you're going to get.
Yeah.
You never know what you're going to get. Hey, brother, did you expect anything less coming from her? Or you expect a little bit more? Now, if the time would have been right, she would have been saying some, you know, my mama said some shit. But I had to have on because I want to know. But then she tell me that. But then the conversation that I had with her mother told me something different. You know, now knowing that my grandmother was an Indian, what kind of Indian? Oh, okay. I wish I had a picture of her right now. My great-grandmother, excuse me. I wish I had a picture of her right now. If I had a picture of her, I'll put her up on the chat room so that people can see what I'm talking about.
Well, brother, the thing I can say about this is that, man, my whole initial conversation, I got to talk about different, it was different Indian tribes that didn't want to go up, that went against the British and the French. But it's the Cherokee, man, that really, like, let them
sold
in the back
out.
Door. It was Cherokee. And we know, but the Cherokee, that is, you know, I know for a fact, you know, I got relatives of Cherokee. But that don't take away from the fact that the Cherokees come from the Yamasees. It was just two different people with two different principles, but that came after mixing with the breed. And even with...
And you know what, man?
You know, and they sold the Yamasee out, man. And I had to say that, and a lot of people... That's the truth, man.
So we bought into the great big white height, basically, of Christianity, and that was what, you know, was our downfall. White crack-ass
right.
Jesus.
Well, not it was the white crack-ass Jesus, but they played on the heart. They played on the heart of the people. People couldn't see destroying or killing. People couldn't see, okay, it's like this right here. People laid down, they was like, man, if you want that bad, just go ahead and take it, because I can't keep killing and killing and killing and killing and killing and killing like that. Because you are relentless and you are evil. You so evil, I lose myself trying to deal with you like that. But, you know, the time has come to the point we could deal like that, so bring it on.
I wanna read this right here again. I read this earlier. I don't know if you was online when I read it, right? But this right here is what the aftermath. They call it collateral damage. Donald Sterling for the Clippers. You know, after the bullshit that he had said last week. Well, excuse me, the week after, you know, what came out about him, basically, last week. I wanna play, no, I'm not going to play this clip, but I want to read this statement, right? I want to read this thing that dude, Leon Jenkins has said, right? After the scandal broke.
What did Leon say?
I'm sorry, you weren't online then, brother. Okay, Leon Jenkins, he's the dude that was the president over the chapter of the NAACP Los Angeles. He was the president over the Los Angeles chapter. Now I want to read what he said. See, because I keep thinking about this shit, right? And I should have had a show on this right here, but I want to have you on to talk about, you know, the culture of the people who were here. And we still didn't get into the whole, you know what I'm saying, the whole thing of it. But after the Cracker Boy said what he said, right, about black people, well, after that came out, the dude from NAACP, Leon Jenkins, he called all the old civil rights women and all the old civil rights old dudes, and you know what I'm talking about. How the question number one off the Chitlin test, the old handkerchief heads, right? He called them.
Yeah.
And this is what he said. After the scandal broke, this is what he said. He said, at some point, when there has been proof, I think that would be a legitimate time for the NAACP to sit down with Sterling and try to work out how and why he did what he did and what is he going to do in the future, Leon Jenkins said. But that's not the shit, though. That's just the beginning of the shit, right? But then, get what he said after that. He said, God teaches us to forgive. And the way I look at it, after a sustained period of just proof to the African-American community that those words don't really reflect his heart, I think there's room for forgiveness.
Forgiveness. Right.
It's like he had stolen a page from out of Martin Luther King down speech book, right?
You know what? I
and that's the same thing that
I would say Jesse Jackson, because Martin Luther King, he was in sin what he was doing. But as he found out what happened, that brought him to ruin. So I'm not.
Man, let me tell you something. You know what? Ain't nobody can be that goddamn soup with all those niggas around you and just find out what the fuck you doing. I'm sorry, brother. I understand what you're saying. But he knew what the fuck you were doing. He Boulé. He is Martin Boulé. He Boulé. He knew what the fuck you were doing.
Man, a lot of motherfuckers been Boulé, brother.
Yeah.
You
know.
But a lot of them was, and a lot of them still fought and didn't really, a lot of them just was weak like that, man. But I can't say what was weak, because what was weak survived. And motherfuckers looked at that shit and said, well, I don't want to be, but I don't even want to get to that, man. Like you say, man, that sounds like he stole a page out of King's book. I'm with you, bro.
You know, we keep.
I can't have
then,
no division.
You know, then you see the girl come on. You see the girl come on, and the girl said, you know, that the man's not racist. I wonder
that's
how much bread they had broke her off. I wonder how much bread they broke her off, or I wonder who they had threatened, or I wonder what type of negotiation they came up with, you know, to get her to say that.
Okay.
You know, that's what you... But is she black? Is she... I'm asking you, brother, is she black? You know, because by her coming back cleaning up that bullshit, right, that's all I saw that a black person to do. That's all right. She's carried the Leon Jenkins, right?
That sounds like somebody that's under the rule of white supremacy would do. That's in the American spotlight. You don't want your money snatched, or you don't want nothing to happen to you like that. Are you under this rule of white supremacy? That's what a person would do. You already said who are people it is. You know, bestiality meets bestiality. You a beast. A beast can do anything to survive. You corny his ass.
For real. I mean, you know, like I said, you know, the whole thing is that the beast gonna bring everything and everybody down with him, you know. She changed her story, recant her story,
for money and what people think. For
man,
reality of what people think, you know?
At school, they used to call her Barbie because she was so materialistic, right? So she was like the Nicki Minaj. She was like Nicki Minaj when she was in school. And she was a young girl, so I'm saying she's not even in her 30s yet, you know? But, you know, I'm not going to slam her game down. You know what I'm saying? Because she probably been home in her young life. No. He's a European cracker, man.
Ooh.
But I'm glad that you know
they
had. Oh yeah, I got you, brother. I got you. Hey, y'all cute, y'all cool, yeah. But my thing is this right here. After the Leroy Jenkins scandal, right? No. That's a scandal in itself. And my next show, I want to be about this Leroy Jenkins and what he said. And I wonder, because, you know, usually now, brother, think about it. In the history of We Shall Overcome, right? In the history of I Have a Dream. In the history of I've Been to the Mountaintop, in the history of Little Black Boys and Little Black Girls, and in the history of Get Slapped and Turn the Other Cheek, I have, that right there is a one-hitter quitter. What he said was the one, I'm going to read, hey, look, I done read it like three times tonight. I'm going to read this a little bit, one more time, right?
Check this out.
It said, God teaches us to forgive. And the way I look at it, after a sustained period of just proof to the African-American community that those words don't really reflect his heart, I think there's room for forgiveness.
I don't acknowledge that.
No. I'm saying this right here.
All the times in our history,
it's not our motherfucking history. It's this little short little time. But out of all this time, right, every time a handkerchief-head Negro come up and say that line or a line that's similar, what happened? The rug get lifted and the bullshit gets swept underneath it. But this is the first time, brother. This right here is black. This is a black history moment. This is a black history moment, bro. Think about it, brother.
Right.
This is the first time in our, you know what I'm saying, so-called civil rights history that a Negro came out and said some shit like that and lost his damn job and got kicked off and got booted out.
You know the crazy thing is though? Think about how many so-called cocky black people got money now. But they cocky and they black.
Huh? Hold on. You mean black folks that got money that white people approve of. That's what you mean, right?
Right. But think about many black people that got money that white people approve of in this Hollywood era that got money that spoke out on that issue. Think about it. It's the game now. Even black people that were speaking out, she'd be like, hey, man, this person's addressing that issue. Even Jordan had something to say. Everybody black had something to say. Even Oprah, all the black money had something to say.
But see, brother, you know what? By this right here, fitting it seems like it's like a little kind of small setup, right? Because he's banned for life in the NBA, you know. But
he was just
all of these people talking about
they want to
buy the team. A lot of people saying they want to buy the team. They're forcing this man. They're going to force him to sell the team. But way Oprah coming out saying, you know, she's interested, and Magic Johnson saying he's interested, and all these other people saying they're interested, it sounds to me like this is going to be the first black, exclusively black-owned team. Man, look, this right here is a moment in black history. Man, look, I think next year this time, I'm going to have a cookout, right? I mean, write this shit down, right? I'm going to have a cookout. And we're going to have a celebration because I think this is the first brick from that damn wall. Remember the Berlin Wall? And they had that first brick. And they seen the rest of us fell out. But I think if we keep pushing, because I'm going to push. I'm going to push on Savannah Black Conscious Attack. And I asked the brothers on Culture Freedom Radio to say, to push this issue because, and to pass it on to other people.
Hey,
man, look,
shit,
push this issue,
shit.
Brother. Hold on, bro, hold on. To push this issue because this is a black history moment. I'm talking about, man, really, this shit is. Man, we ain't had nobody to come out and kick nobody out of position, you know what I'm saying, since the great, the late and great Moses. Say, you know what, fuck that shit y'all house niggas talking about. I'm about to kick these old crackers out of motherfucking Egypt and run their ass across the hot burning sand. We ain't had no shit like that since then, brother. Think about it. Think about it, man. This is the first that a nigga, old handkerchief-head nigga came out and used that line and it went against him. That's the one hit a quitter. God teaches us to forgive. Man, look, that's the shit that when we were setting up the temples and shit, you know what I'm saying? That sound. Like something going on. Let me exit that out. But this is the first time that we ever had something like that to go on, you know?
You right about that. And I was glad to see that he was out for that statement, man, because that was a cowardly statement, a cowardly move, man. That was that old fuck dancing, feet shuffling coward down. Like I say, us as a people, man, we done came too far. What else they want from us? I mean, we not sitting here attacking the white man. We just want a fair chance to do what we got to do. But when you come and treat us wrong, man, we going to speak up and say that. And you can't say we wrong. I'm unapologetically African. I just want me in mind, and I'm coming from my perspective. And if I feel I'm disrespected, I'm going to say what I got to say. And I ain't cow tipping. I'm telling you straight up. You know my position and know who I am, so give it up. If you not, don't worry about it. You keep doing what you're going to do, but we're going to keep breeding, and we're going to keep breeding this intelligence, and it's going to keep coming, and you ain't going to be able to stop this.
So we get our reparations, right?
Reparations, man? We ain't no reparations. We taking back everything we owe, brother. Everything is owed, we take it. They going to give it up.
So let me ask you this. In the form of, you know, this right here, do come to reparations, right? What they going to give us? What, they going to give us some money? They going to give us some greenback?
No.
They
going to
give us some
no
dollars?
No. Resources. With resources, we make dollars out of 15 cents. Give us some. They could give us a little bit, bruh, and with a little bit, they'll be coming to us asking, how you do that? And they got all the resources in the world, but we'll take a little bit and we'll make something happen, bruh. They know that. Give us a little
Liberia,
bit and we'll make
it happen. So what we'll do, we'll do another Liberia. See?
Man, that's
what a
bad
what
Africa,
what?
Man.
When we go and do the same thing that they did in Liberia when he went over there and mistreat our other fellow deaf, dumb, and blind African brothers and sisters over there.
Man, it all depends on who you got.
We done did this shit before now. Brother, we done did this shit before, right?
I told you that was the devil.
Okay.
Absolute power absolutely corrupts. That was the devil, man. That was that beast that wants to put out here. That's that beast that wants to sit there and dominate somebody else and don't want to live in harmony. I don't know nothing about that. All my life, they say, I ain't never wanted nothing. I don't want nothing. Leave me alone. I want to take care of my family, but I don't want nothing but to take care of my family.
But what I'm saying, what I'm saying is this right here.
Yeah.
Listen, they didn't, the first time, you know what? The shit got me mad, right? Because remember now, when we run around, you know what I'm saying, putting up temples, you know, I thought we were putting the earth back in balance, right?
Right.
And remember when we seen that beast, right? And when me and you seen him, me and you said, man, we about to kill these motherfuckers. And you know what the motherfucker came and said? A motherfucker came and said, God teaches us to forgive.
And the way I look at it, after the proof to the African,
those fallen ones, they really reflect, we really have to see what reflects in their heart. Because I think there's room for forgiveness. Let's take them in and teach them our ways.
last time I came here, I probably was like, man, we got to raise them back up. This time, I'm like, man, either their ass going to get in or their ass got to go. This got to be an all-black planet.
We done did it before. We done did it a couple of times. We keep doing that. I'm just saying, the reason I said that is because thinking about it, right?
Mm-hmm.
That has to be the same, similar type of line that someone said back then. During the rejuvenation period on this planet, when we had, you know, came back in contact with them, you know what I'm saying? With those cave dwellers. You know, we had them transform and became that dirty, nasty parasite known as, you know, the European. Nope, my fault. The European.
Boy, that didn't do that, man.
And we still forgave them.
No, after when we went through slavery, we ain't try to raise them up no more, bro. Cause it was us had to be put in position to be raised. It was us to be put in position to be. No, bro. We back in the day, we tried to raise their ass, and people, man, felt they had to go. We had to raise them because initially, man, we started it, we did it, and we had to answer for what we did, and we have to raise them back up. And that's a true reality. But how I'm seeing it right now is...
Because God teaches us to forgive, and the way that you look at it after the same period...
That's the law. That's the law. Because it was our people who sat there, it's like me and you sitting here saying what we saying now, how we feel. But ultimately, what we gonna do is it gonna cause a balance or an imbalance. That's what we.
Man, look here. The only way for that to happen is for them to come back within us. They have to come back to. The darkness that they come from out of. If they're not willing to come back into the darkness that they done came from out of, and they want to keep that nasty and slightly melanated, 6 feet of hair, unspiritual, ungodly, as form.
Listen.
Then
they're going to have to come back in. If they don't come back in, man, I mean, it is what it is. And I mean, what's understood don't need to be said. If they don't come back in, then this is going to be an all-black planet. That's what I'm putting down. And that's what I'm putting down from generations on out here and from on out there. And I'm not sitting there saying, I mean, they know. If they don't know, they better stop being brainwashed and study history and know and read what's really going on, because they're doing themselves a disgrace. And don't think nobody wrong when people start acting a certain way or certain things start happening, because your own people are lying to you, and that lie ain't living no more, man. They going to have to go back in. You know, people say I speak extreme, but maybe I'm way ahead of my time, but this planet going to have to be all black. And I know I'm years ahead of my time, and I know that, but this planet will have to be all black. And if you ain't heard it, you heard it on Mr. Savannah Black Show.
You know what? My time running out, brother. I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to get out of here. You know, that right there was a good close out to the show. Join me next week. Same black time. Same black station.
Yeah, all right.
This has been your boy, Mr. Savannah Black, along with, I think, probably my new co-host, Messiah 7. And this right here is Savannah Black's Conscious Attack. I want to say hotel, righteousness, and blessing.
Right on, right on.
Peace.